This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good afternoon, this is Frida Liu. It's Resource Center, it's also Her Vantage, where we speak to women of influence and leadership in all strata of society. Hailing from East Malaysia, my favorite part of the world, Borneo Art Forms pioneer Alena Murang has learned the traditional art forms of the Penang, Kelabit and Kenya people since the age of six, including singing, dancing, playing musical instruments, weaving and design. Alena is also one of the first and few women to perform and teach a traditional lute instrument called the sape, and she strives to communicate her perspectives and advocacies through visual art, traditional craft making and through her music, with hopes to do her part in imparting social and environmental impact. Welcome, Alena. So you only started learning the sape at about 12. Has it always been sape, or were there other instruments that you have loved to pick up?
Well, I started learning classical guitar when I was 9. And then for many, many years, I begged my parents for a saxophone. And then I started learning saxophone as well. So yeah, those two instruments. There's still many instruments that I would love to learn.
How did you get into sape then?
So my cousins and I, we used to do traditional dancing every weekend. So we'd just go to a cousin's house and an auntie would come over and then we would just do traditional dancing. So what happened was half of us decided to stay as dancers. Another half of us said, why don't we go and learn the sape? Because at the time we were just playing to a CD recording. And at the time there was only the one CD recording from Tusapadan.
Okay.
So learning the sape meant that we could, you know, change the rhythm a little bit, make the track longer or shorter. It just gave us a lot more creative freedom.
All right. Okay. Now, I understand that females weren't allowed to play the sape. So why is that? And how did you, you know, get past that taboo?
Yeah, females couldn't even touch the sape. And I think it's because the sape used to be used during shamanic rituals for healing. And at the time, the priests were men. So therefore, you know, women just couldn't touch the sape because it was something sacred. And then in the 1940s to 1970s, the Kelabits, the Kenya, the people in that area, the Ulubaram area, they became Christian and therefore put aside a lot of the traditional art forms, a lot of stories, a lot of myths. And with that, I think the taboo of women touching the sape also died.
So like how many female sape players would there be now? Do you know?
Now, just like off the top of my head, maybe 10.
Still not that many.
Not that many. Three of us are professional, doing it full-time or part-time.
Okay, and what is the material made of, the sape?
So sape is made out of one piece of wood. Nowadays, there's experimentation with many different types of wood. And then the string, I still use fishing line. So if I want to get new string, I go to a fishing shop and the uncle's always looking at me like, what are you doing in here? You know, what fish do you want to fish?
A very big crocodile.
Yeah. And then, but now people are using guitar string.
Okay.
And then the frets, we carve ourselves with bamboo. I hate carving frets. It's a very tedious job. And then you secure the frets on the sape with beeswax.
And was that how it was traditionally used? If you know, the sape? I mean, what strings were used previously?
So previously it was rattan string. And then I read recently that they started salvaging from telephone lines, from the public telephone lines or cables and things. So the sape, it's a very interesting instrument in its physical form because it's still undergoing innovation. And the sape that we play today is very different from the sape that was around 40, 50 years ago. So even though it's a traditional instrument, you know, it's quite contemporary or quite modern in that way.
Yeah. So now you play, you dance, you paint and you teach, right? So you definitely wear many hats. Would you say that it becomes a challenge to focus solely on any one of them, or do you find that it all merges together?
Oh, it's definitely a challenge to focus. But I think me, like, just as an individual, I'm not one that can focus on one thing, unfortunately.
You're the creative sort.
And, you know, I learned that as an artist, everything that you do, whether it's artistic or not artistic, it informs your art and it provides input for your art. So, you know, I love it all. And, you know, I always say, I love doing it now. But who knows, maybe in 10 years, I'm going to love something else.
And
it's okay. It's okay to move on as well.
Right. And okay, you are obviously raised in East Malaysia itself?
Yes. So okay. Born and bred in Kuching.
Born and bred in Kuching, best place. So it's a very multicultural environment. And, of course, you... come from, you know, you understand different languages and cultures, and you've got your Glabit, you've got your little bit of English, a little bit of Italian. Do you think it has given you an upper hand in, you know, better cognitive understanding and creativity?
I should hope so. I think in a way it's given me a lot more input or more inspiration. I think, so growing up, I did National Stream, and I was growing up like, you know, a mixed kid. I obviously look a bit more European. Mm. So it was tough actually growing up because I get a lot of those, you know, racial slurs and people saying I'm more European and, you know. And then I moved to the UK, and then over there people thought I was Asian. Yeah. And then it's kind of like, oh, I don't fit in anywhere. So I think being a mixed kid kind of gave me a bit of an identity struggle. Mm-hmm. And art became a way of me expressing that. Right. Yeah. And also when I moved to the UK, I started to really realize and appreciate that, you know, Borneo is very special in terms of what we have, our culture, food diversity. And I start to appreciate it more. I think that happens when you kind of leave your country and see it from an outsider's perspective, maybe.
Yeah. Even living in KL, you know, I look back at Kuching right now and think, wow, you know, that is a great place.
Yeah,
you know,
it's special.
Right?
Yeah.
Now, has there always been enough support in terms of, you know, what you do in terms of financial funding from corporate or government entities? Do you look out for this, or?
Yeah, I definitely. I mean, I'm always looking out for funds. There's increasingly more funding. Mm. Obviously, there could always be more. There are. I mean, I went to Paris Fashion Week last week with funding from Sarawak Tourism Board. Mm. But I guess most of my funding comes from corporate gigs. So still performing, but, you know, corporates have the ability and the want to pay for it.
Right, okay.
But in terms of funding such as grants and stuff, they are quite difficult to come by. I had a grant from the Ministry of Youth and Sports last year.
Okay. And how did they support you in terms of just a grant for you to...
So I was made a Rakan Muda mentor, and with that I got a grant to start giving sape classes.
Ah,
yeah,
okay. So that's how they support you in that sense.
Yes.
Yeah? All right. Okay. And how and where do you seek inspiration for your music? Is it from nature, travel, growing up? Where do you get that?
Yeah, I think with my music, you know, it's funny. I never saw myself as a musician. For me, with the sape, I'm more of a, I don't know, I think it comes more from my ancestors or more just from my cultural background. So the songs that I play, they're still traditional songs. Mm. And I go back and I collect a lot of these songs from the elders because they are songs that were not allowed to be sung when they became Christian. Mm. So it's only maybe 10 or fewer of the elders that still remember the songs and that are happy to share them now. Mm. So when people say what inspires me, it's not that I'm writing the songs, you know, it's more wanting to go and learn and save them.
Okay, so do you do modern interpretations with the instrument right now? Do you come up with new material?
Yeah, so with the traditional songs, I try to make them a bit more contemporary or a bit more relevant, I think, to urban listeners because, yeah, I just want to make it more relatable. Mm. And I think culture should not be, you know, it's in the past and we preserve it to be there because our contexts have changed, right? So, yeah, I do try to make it a bit more modern but still trying to maintain the essence of the sape and the music.
Okay. Yeah. And you mentioned a little bit about Paris Fashion Week. I'm going to talk more about that right after this. I'm here with Alena Murang. You're listening to Resource Centre, BFM 89.9.
Bring forth money. BFM 89.9.
This is Resource Centre. Good afternoon, Frida Liu here. If you've just joined us, I'm here with a fellow Sarawakian, Alena Murang. And of course, people know her for her sape playing, but she does everything from painting to teaching to what have you. So you were saying that you were just at the Paris Fashion Week. How were you involved in that?
So what I was doing, I was playing the sape for the catwalk, which is really cool. I mean, sometimes you see like Taylor Swift or Rihanna on the Victoria's Secret catwalk, so, you know, something like that, but not quite. I was, just playing live sape on the catwalk while the models walked out. And it was for Sarawak I guess you can call them a design company. Mm-hmm. They're called Tanoti. Yep. And Tanoti, they do songket weaving, the traditional songket weaving. And it's just beautiful stuff, I think. Mm. So yeah, they were showcasing their shawls and necklaces.
How was the response? I mean, I'm just thinking with the crowd in Paris and just listening to that music, probably for the first time ever.
Yeah, there are quite a few people that came up to me and said, you know, wow, like, that's something really special. It's, you know, what is that instrument? And, you know, even the models were also wanting to take photos with the instrument and stuff like that. So it was really cool. The fashion show was on the top deck of a boat. So the boat was, you know, it was moving along the river and it was against the backdrop of the Eiffel Tower. And then, you know, you just hear sape music. And it's so nice because, you know, sape music's meant to be along a river.
Right.
Just along the, you know, in Borneo usually.
Have you performed on a global stage other than this?
So I did a tour in America, but that was with my band at the time. So I also play with Diplomats of Drum. Mm. And we were, I think, 6 to 8 weeks in America in 2013. Mm. And that also was something very special. I think with the sape, the response is people are always curious and fascinated and they just love the instrument. And I think it's, you know, it's, people have seen at least a photo of the sitar or
yes.
djembe or something, but they see the sape and they're like mind blown, you know?
What is this?
Yeah.
And so you were also at TEDxKL. Were you speaking or were you just playing the sape as well?
I did both.
Okay.
So I was a speaker and then after that I did a little performance as well.
What do you talk about?
So I was talking about heritage, basically, and heritage is such a big word.
And this is connected to your Art for Enterprise?
Kind of. Mm. So at TEDx, I was talking about heritage and why there are some, I guess, traditions or cultures that we lose and why do we keep some?
Mm.
Like, for example, you don't see me walking around with long ears. I don't have the traditional tattoos that, you know, my grandma would have had. But then I choose to go and like play the sape and sing some songs and, you know, learn the traditional craft making. So, you know, why do we lose some and why do we not lose some? Why are some relevant? Some are no longer relevant.
And why?
And this is the thing, you know, I don't know
why. I don't know.
We're all humans here.
Yeah.
And it's okay to lose some things.
Yeah.
But I think for me, I still think that the songs are very important. And I just, you know, when you're passionate about something, there really is no explanation except for feeling.
Yeah.
And I think I just want people, because I get a lot of people in, especially in West Malaysia, saying like, oh, you know, what you do is so cool. I don't have any culture. I don't know, you know, like, I don't know who to turn to go and learn my culture. And I'm like, you do, though, you do.
Yeah.
So I think I just want people to, especially the younger generation, to go and like, you know, maybe sit with their elders and just ask them questions or think about what is it that's important to them, where is their identity from, and then to learn it and share it, you know. I think we are all very different. I mean, every individual is different, but then, you know, every ethnicity is so different. And I think the more we are comfortable with being different, then there's more harmony, I think, you know.
Yeah,
be curious about each other and just learn about each other's differences.
So what is this Art for Enterprise?
Yeah, so it's an enterprise I started over a year ago, and it's just more of a reminder for myself to use art as a medium for social and environmental impact. And through Art for, I take all of my engagements, whether it's, you know, visual art commissions or whether it's I still do some consulting and my performances, I take through Art for, and then with a portion of the revenue, I try to support the people in the kampong still. So either supporting in kids' education, in with schools, with the craft work of ladies as well.
So what sort of consulting do you do?
So my background, before I became a full-time musician/artist, I was in management consulting.
Really?
Yeah. I studied business also in university.
And you seem to have skipped that in the bio.
And I enjoyed it, you know. There's some things about management consulting that I really enjoy.
And
I love project management.
And I think it's important, especially if you have that background and then after that, being able to manage that with art. Because a lot of times, sometimes people say, oh, I just want to be involved in my art and not understand that there are, you know,
exactly.
if you you understand business behind it, it just helps promote art further.
Yeah, so I mean, that background has really helped me in you know, negotiations, contract writing, just, you know, managing myself also.
Mm.
You know, sometimes I wonder if it's impeding my creativity and, you know, do I just need someone to manage me and I can just go a bit more crazy and stuff like that. But at the end of the day, it's me, you know, that's who I am. And it's, you know, just adding to experiences. So now I would still do consulting jobs, but ones that are either in, you know, social impact or art or music, basically.
Mm. Okay. Yeah. And moving forward, what are some of the projects we can look forward to?
So I'm planning, still looking for the funding for it, for a bigger project to go back and learn more songs and hopefully bring more people with me who are interested in learning the songs also, and then in documenting those and then sharing them again and conducting workshops for kids, especially kids in the area, because they have more, they have immediate access to the elders, you know, doing workshops for the kids. I also want to do a children's album.
Mm.
Yeah, so children's songs, maybe like lullabies also, and games, songs right. that go with games and stuff like that. I'm still supporting two Penan ladies who do traditional weaving, so doing like clutch bags and stuff. I'm still trying to find a way to support them. They're very challenging to work with, because basically we just think in different ways.
Mm.
And so still finding a way in which I can effectively communicate things with them. Yeah.
So these are some of the things that you've got, you know, planned. And
yes.
we just hope that it all works out for you.
Yes.
I've been speaking to Alena Murang. You've been listening to Resource Centre, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.